Welcome back to another chapter of To Honesty and Comeuppance, an Attack on Titan fanfiction written by yours truly, Tolstoy Ackerman. You can find this fanfiction by clicking on the link in my profile, which will take you to all of my works on AO3, or by going to AO3 and searching for the title of this fic, or my pen name, Tolstoy Ackerman, two words. Standard disclaimer, I do not own Attack on Titan, I only own the original characters here within, and this is entirely non-for-profit. Thanks for coming back for another chapter. Without further ado, let's get into Chapter 28. Chapter 28, Farrier Needed. "You're not going anywhere," Levi said. "Let Nathaniel and the others sort whatever it is." Under the bandana he'd loaned her, Himmel chewed her lips. She wished that she could have a private word with Levi, but she knew that Ervin wouldn't allow that when his curiosity was so insatiable. He had said he wouldn't interfere in her affairs, but she doubted he'd maintain that stance when he learned what was happening in the Undercity at the moment. Slowly, she said, "The MPs are in the Undercity." "They're overseeing the relocation of those from Wall Rose into the Undercity," Ervin said. "No, not them. We don't interfere with them, and they don't interfere with us. It's the interior MPs." At this, Ervin and Levi's eyes grew wide, both for different reasons. "I wasn't lying when I told you that I thought maybe there was someone high up in the MPs looking out for me all these years," Himmel said, gripping the letter in question tightly. "I run a very tight organization, and I'm good at making myself hard to be caught, but the MPs have never come after me, even though there's been numerous occasions where I've harmed their interests. They're down there asking around about me. The real me. My past. Whether there's anything unnatural about me." Levi said to Ervin, "You said you'd look into the Ruckers. Is that what this is?" "No, I haven't had time to get the investigation started yet. Himmel, why would they take interest in you now?" "I have no idea. I've been quiet for 3 years, minus right after Trost when I got those medical supplies. None of what Nathaniel and the others have been doing should have attracted their ire any more than the things I did. Either the person looking out for me in there is gone, or they've had a change of heart." "If you go down there, what will you do?" Ervin asked. "You can't go running around throwing your swords through their hearts," Levi said. "There's too many of them, for one thing, and once you attack one of them, they'll come down on you like an avalanche. They're baiting you, trying to get you to come out of hiding. Have Nathaniel and the others give them the runaround." "Of course they're giving the MPs the runaround. They're not stupid, but it's not working. They're threatening to ruin us if I don't meet with them." "The interior MPs want to have a face-to-face meeting with you?" Ervin said, looking stunned. "Even I've never spoken with them." Levi put a hand on her wrist, his grip strong enough that it pulled her out of the frothing panic she'd sunk into. "Mel, you can't meet them. At best, they'll capture you. At worst, they'll kill you. And then everything you've worked for will be lost. The Undercity needs you, and so does Upside." She hated that he was right. Having one foot in the Undercity and one foot Upside had only doubled her troubles. "Do you think they know that you're in the Survey Corps?" Ervin said. "Yes, it's common knowledge that I joined, but there's only a handful of people down there that know me by Himmel." "Still, two swords and blonde curls is enough," Levi said. "Anyone from the Undercity could pick you out." Ervin closed his eyes and considered the situation for a moment, and when he opened them, there was steel as strong and reassuring as a blade in his voice. "Even before today's tribunal, you've been spoken about. Your supply runs to Nedley helped them survive the winter, and your actions at Trost begged belief. It's likely that the interior MPs suspect you are the Sabakia, but instead of seeking you out via military channels, they're trying to force your hand in the Undercity." "I don't see why they'd do that," Levi said. "She's right here. They could go through you to get access to her any time." "This is under the table for a reason," Himmel said. "Either they're hoping to blackmail me into joining them, or what they want has nothing to do with the military." Something flitted across Ervin's expression at her last remark, but it was too quick for her to identify. "I can't allow you to meet with the MPs." Himmel tapped the bandages at her throat, inviting the pain from the ripped stitches to help sharpen her mind. It was hard to tame the frustration that came with suddenly having someone dictating her private matters. She could swallow down orders related to the military, of course, but the thought of anyone trying to bridle her work as a Sabakia made her fingers itch for her swords. But, she realized reluctantly, he and Levi were right. Meeting with the MPs would probably put her exactly where they wanted. May I borrow your desk? She sighed. Please, use whatever stationery you want. Himmel sat down at the desk in the corner, one hand still fingering her wounds as she hastily wrote to Nathaniel and the others, apologizing for her silence and ordering them to keep running interference as long as they could. She wouldn't meet the MPs, but she would find out what they wanted from her one way or another. When finished, she slipped the paper into an envelope with a lock of her hair for proof that she had written it. She turned around to find Levi and Ervin perusing her correspondence. "You changed the cipher?" Levi said. "Yeah, now give me back my letters or I'll gut the both of you." Neither of them seemed perturbed by her death threat in the slightest, which only aggravated her further. "I'm interested to understand how the cipher works," Ervin said. She yanked the letter he was holding out of his hand and then snatched Levi's along with the stack on her chair. "Absolutely not. I'm going to dispose of these and send my reply, and then I'll be back." "Once you've taken care of your business," Ervin said, "get Historia out of her cell. She's being held in the Karaness Survey Corps barracks. Take the sealed letter on the desk with you. It's a writ of permission." Himmel swiped it off his desk and hurried out of the room, tucking Ervin's letter in her bra for safekeeping. She saddled one of the Survey Corps horses and headed to Horace's, which was full of patrons. "Back again so soon," he smiled. "Yeah, wanted to thank you for the meal. Do you have a second?" He nodded and led her into the small room behind the bar where their talk couldn't be overheard. Immediately, his cheer vanished. "They've been shitting themselves not being able to get a hold of you. I had to talk Nathaniel out of going to the barracks to ask for you." "I'm sorry," Himmel said. "I expected to go on a survey once a month when I joined the Survey Corps, so I'd still have plenty of time to handle things. But ever since Trost, it's been non-stop. I'm not leaving the Undercity. I'm not abandoning my responsibilities, but I can't be in two places at once. Listen, I need you to get this letter to them and destroy all the others for me." "Consider it done. Be careful, Sabakia. Humanity has Levi fighting for it, but the Undercity only has you." "And Nathaniel and Vanessa and Robert," Himmel said. Horace shook his head. "In the people's mind, those three are just working for you. It's still you that they're counting on." She ran a hand through her long braids. No wonder Levi had left. Neither of them had meant to put on this mantle, and he had managed to escape before it clasped fully. Now Himmel could feel it dragging her into the depths like sopping wool. "Thanks, Horace," she said, feeling tired. Next, she rode to Karaness at a canter. She wasn't in any particular hurry to reach Historia. It was more that she wanted to get back to where Levi was. Stupidly, she'd been in such a rush to get her reply out to Nathaniel and the others that she hadn't even thought to ask to have her gear or weapons back. Knowing that the interior MPs were gouging their fingers into her lifeblood and that they likely knew her identity in the Survey Corps made her feel even more naked than she already did unarmed. Still, surely they wouldn't be so bold as to make a move on her upside when she was on official business. She should have very little to fear tonight, yet she still found herself looking into every shadow she passed, hoping to catch the glint of a blade or rifle barrel before the ambush commenced. All of Himmel's caginess proved unfounded. She reached the Karaness barracks without a single incident or odd glance from passerby, and at the gates, she stopped her horse and dismounted. Two soldiers were there with rifles slung over their shoulders. "State your name and business," one of them said. "Captain Himmelswhite of the Survey Corps. I'm here to collect Crystal Lens on Commander Ervin's orders." The title captain was much too new and unsavory to her still, and she ran her tongue along the backs of her teeth as she presented the guards with Ervin's paper. "That's his seal, all right, but looks like there's been some kind of miscommunication. The MPs arrived to pick her up just before you did. You better go in and have a word with them." Before the guard could fully extend his arm to return the letter to her, she had plucked it out of his hand and started to dash inside. "Be rational. Be calm. Use your head about this." These sorts of confusing orders happened all the time. All three branches of the military had been involved in yesterday's events, so it wasn't unreasonable for the military police to want to question Historia. Himmel had assumed that since a decision had been reached for her own matters, Historia's had been settled as well, and she was free to go. Ervin was well aware that Himmel was a criminal who knew how to bury her compunctions when necessary, but he wouldn't use her to break Historia out of her cell. He would only send for her if she were free to go. Therefore, she didn't understand why the MPs would be picking her up now, close to midnight. "Just because the interior MPs are looking into you doesn't mean that there's a cabal." The interior MPs and regular MPs were two different beasts, almost completely disconnected from one another, despite belonging in the same branch. The chance that what was happening right now had something to do with the interior's sudden interest in the Sabakia was close to zero. But it's not zero. This was just a little snafu. She would smooth it out, take Historia, and everything would be okay. Himmel slid inside the double doors of the barracks and made her way to the stairs that descended to the first and second layers of the Undercroft. All of the barracks were built identically, so it was easy to navigate. Historia would be in the bottommost floor where the cells were. Two guards would be at the door to the final set of stairs. Depending on the number of inmates, there could be 1 to 4 additional guards watching the cells. Belatedly, she realized she had failed to ask how many MPs had come. The guards would all be armed with rifles, sans ODM gear. It would be best to operate under the assumption that the MPs would have ODM gear, blades, and rifles. And here she was, with nothing but her bare fucking hands. "It's fine. You don't need any weapons. You're gonna sort this out with words, like all the nice upsiders do." Himmel showed Ervin's letter to the two guards at the door, and they let her in, not hiding their bewilderment as they did so. She paused on the second stair, pretending to carefully fold and put the letter in her pocket until they closed the door behind her. As she waited, she listened. From this angle, she could only see a small portion of the rough flagstone floor below, and unless someone came to stand at the foot of the stairs, they would be unable to see her. Recalling the cells she'd been put in yesterday, she envisioned that at the landing she would turn left to face the row of cells and thin strip of hallway with 2 gas lamps in the wall per each cell. There were 5 cells, which meant 10 gas lamps, each roughly 2 meters away from one another. Dousing them in darkness would be impossible. There would also be 2 benches, 1 on either side of the landing, against the wall with the lights. The benches could seat 3 comfortably and were made of a thick and sturdy wood. However, the hall was too narrow for Himmel to pick one up and swing it around. She'd have to bust it against the wall first. You won't need to break a bench, because that's not something normal people do during conversations, and a conversation is all that's going to happen. If they pulled their blades on her, the hall would be narrow and their maneuvers would be limited. Already, she could imagine the sort of moves they would use from the cadet corps drills. And if they tried to use their rifles, well, Himmel was more than experienced with bringing a knife to a gunfight. She raised a foot to proceed to the next step, but paused. They were talking to Historia. "Niall Dock has summoned you for questioning. You're to come with us to Mitras." "But I was told earlier that my hearing was finished, and I was supposed to wait for someone from the Survey Corps to—" "Were they of higher rank than Commander Niall? Then shut your fucking mouth and do as you're told. On your feet." No, this didn't feel right. Himmel went down the steps, making enough noise that they would notice her approach. She put her fist to her heart in a salute and said brightly, "Evening. I'm the Survey Corps scout tasked with taking Krista back." 6 MPs with ODM gear under cloaks and rifles over shoulder. 2 Survey Corps guards with rifles. All crowded around the central cell that was right across from the foot of the stairs. It was the most disadvantageous position to be in for a fight, but the best if Himmel wanted to pull a runner. No one's pulling a runner, because no one is going to fight. All 8 of them rounded on her, taking in her plain clothes and impractical braids that trailed to her mid-calves, as well as the bandana that hid her nose and mouth. She looked nothing like a soldier at the moment. "Name and rank," one of the MPs demanded. "Scout Mercy Weismacher, of the 4th Squad, reporting to Captain Hanji Zoe, ma'am," Himmel rattled off. Historia's eyes grew wide for a moment, but she had the good sense to keep quiet. "How many surveys you been on, Mercy?" another asked, a condescending smile on his lips. 2, sir. I graduated with the 104th and was part of the recent mission to the Titan Forest and the one to Utgard yesterday." Their reactions were interesting. Upon learning that she was a member of the 104th, a few exchanged glances. The first one to speak to her, a tall blonde woman with a cold, detached voice, said, "You friends with Krista here?" "Yeah, we slept in the same barrack for 3 years, didn't we?" Historia nodded, smiling and playing along beautifully. "Oh, so that's why you were the one to pick her up. You friends with that boy that can turn into a titan, too? What's his name?" "Eden? Yeah, of course. We're all gonna have a little late-night get-together once I bring Krista back to celebrate being alive, actually." "And where are you planning on having this little party? We could use a good drink and an interesting story," the woman said. Eden's location had been top secret ever since it was discovered that he could transform. Only a handful of people knew where he was at any given time, and it didn't surprise Himmel that the MPs, despite their vast resources, had been unable to pinpoint him. But why were they looking for him? It had been decided after Trost that he was to stay in the possession of the Survey Corps, and as far as Himmel knew, there had been no changes in the stance. Reiner's words to Bertolt as they finalized their plan yesterday wafted back to her. Krista's an important person in the Wallace Church. If it turns out that Eden isn't the coordinate, having her will make our mission easier. Himmel still didn't understand what he had meant by all of that, but she knew that Eden and Historia were some sort of pair. Did the MPs think the same thing? "Show us your writ," the woman demanded. Himmel didn't want to. It stated plainly that Historia was to be transported from Caraness to Stowe Hesse, and she didn't want anyone to know their destination. She lied. "I already showed it to two other sets of guards to get down here. The ones at the top of the stairs kept it." "That's against policy," the woman said, brandishing her own writ. It was easy to mislead and befuddle good people, Himmel had learned over the years, but the more crooked a person was, the better they were at seeing all the twists and bends in your shadow. What was actually happening right now? Had their higher-ups unknowingly sent out conflicting orders, and Himmel and the MPs were caught in the middle of a miscommunication? Or was there something more sinister unfolding before her? Were they interior MPs masquerading as regular MPs, sent to fetch Historia and then possibly Eden? For the past few days, Himmel had been walking on the shed skins of her former friends. It seemed like she couldn't recognize anyone's faces anymore, much less divine what lay in their hearts. Was it just paranoia? She would give them another chance. Levi would want her to do that, and even if it turned out that everyone in the entire world had a different face under the one they showed her, she wouldn't lose her trust in him. "Sorry, you're right. They acted like they were going to keep it, but they gave it back. Here." Himmel handed it to the woman, who unfolded and read it quickly. Without looking up from the paper, she said to her men, "They're in Stowe Hesse. Kill her." Disbelief with dismay on its heels shot through her, but was quickly erased by the rush of adrenaline that came with revolvers being leveled at her. Historia cried out in horror, and neither of the Survey Corps guards moved to help her. They looked away and told Historia to shut up. Fuck, even they were in on whatever this was. She had absolutely nothing to use as a weapon. Historia was still locked in her cell. In the paper-thin moment between when they put their hands on the triggers and squeezed, Himmel wavered. Her entire life, her policy had been never to kill a military man. The garrison upheld the safety of the walls. The Survey Corps carried humanity's hope beyond the walls. The MPs were generally pieces of shit, but they hadn't bothered her too much, and sometimes they did good things. She couldn't afford to be weighed down by morals as a Sabakia, but this was one of the few that she had held strong onto. Though she was a criminal, she had always felt a certain camaraderie with military men. They did upside what the Sabakia attempted to do in the Undercity, create order in an orderless world. If she started killing them, not only would she invite them to hound her until she died, she'd also be inviting chaos. And anyways, besides the issue of her silly ideals, there was the very concrete issue that murdering soldiers would get her executed for sure. She'd only just escaped the noose a few hours ago, and here she was about to slip her neck into a new one. Even if Historia became her witness, she already had a strike against her in the MP and Garrison's books. If the interior MPs really were investigating her, they would be all too happy to use this as an excuse to cage her. It wasn't too late for her to escape. She knew of at least three manholes nearby that would get her down into the Undercity, where she could lose even the most determined pursuer. If she ran now, she could make it. She could get back to Ervin and Levi and tell them what was happening, and they could help. But since Himmel had no idea what these MPs wanted with Historia or where they would take her, they would likely be able to do little other than secure Eden. Should she save her own hide and hope to recover Historia later? Or should she earn herself a death sentence she probably wouldn't be able to shake? She'd have to live out the rest of her life in hiding in the Undercity, and she'd probably never be able to see Levi again. 6 barrels less than a meter from her chest and face. Fingers tensing on triggers. A set of blue eyes thrown wide in despair. Promises blooming and poised to rot. "Close your eyes!" she yelled. And that's the end of the chapter. This one was pretty short. I do apologize for the brevity of it, but it just felt like a good point to end it. So that's where I ended it. I hope that you enjoyed it, and I hope that you look forward to the next chapter. If you like what you're listening to, feel free to pop onto AO3 and leave me a little comment. Anonymous comments are turned on, so you don't need an account or anything. All right, thanks for listening. I'll catch you again soon. Bye-bye.